Hello, this is Rabbi Mordechai Fleischer of the Denver Community Kollel, bringing you this week's Thought on the Parsha. This week's Parsha, Parshas Matos Maaseh, a double Parsha, is the longest Torah reading of the year, and it features many different features, different ideas and stories, events that are going on in these Parshas, and one of them is the battle against the nation of Midian. Hashem tells the Jewish people to battle against the nation of Midian, and after that battle, the Jewish people bring back a lot of booty, a lot of spoils, and they bring it to Moshe, and the Torah has a lengthy discussion about how the spoils were divided up, who got what. Some of it went to the Kohanim, some of it was given to Hashem for purposes of use for sanctified purposes in the Mishkan, the tabernacle. Some of it was kept by the soldiers, some of it was divided up among the general nation. And the Torah discusses that Elazar, the Kohen Gadol, the high priest, told the Jewish people how to kasher, how to purge the non-kosher flavor that is in the vessels that they captured in order to render it kosher. And that's the source of the process we call kashering today, rendering non-kosher vessels kosher. And then after this message is given, the Torah discusses that the commanders, the leaders of the troops come to Moshe and they tell him that they, on behalf of their soldiers, they wish to give a special offering to Hashem from the spoils because, Rashi explains, that they need an atonement because even though they were not seduced by the Midianite women as the men were previously, which triggered this entire war in the first place, this was a war of vengeance against the Midianites for seducing the Jewish men a couple of weeks ago in the Parsha, and this time when the Midianite women attempted during wartime to seduce the Jewish men, they withstood the trial, the tribulation. However, says Rashi, that these commanders expressed that nonetheless, there were perhaps improper thoughts that crossed the minds of the men regarding these women, and therefore they have to bring an atonement. And the question is, why did they only approach Moshe after this whole process of Elazar talking about the laws of kashering? Why didn't they immediately come to Moshe when they brought back the spoils initially and the Torah talks about how the spoils are to be divided up? Why didn't they immediately come to Moshe then and say, we want to give a special offering as an atonement for these improper thoughts? Why after the laws of kashering? And the Kotzker Rebbe explains that the idea is that the Jewish people learned a very important idea through the laws of kashering, and that is as follows. If a pot was used for non-kosher, so then that pot absorbs the flavor from the non-kosher food, and then when kosher food is subsequently cooked inside, the flavor goes back out into the kosher food. There's no actual non-kosher food in the pot. The pot could be spotlessly clean. It was cleaned down. It was scrubbed down. There's nothing there. However, there is a flavor that is left inside the walls of the pot, and that's a rule we call ta'am ke'ikar. The flavor is like the item itself. So having flavor of, say, pork inside my food, while not pork itself, having flavor from pork is a problem as much as eating pork itself. Potentially, it can be tantamount to eating the pork itself. It can be just as bad, potentially. A lot of details and laws and minutiae how that works, but the bottom line is that the flavor of the non-kosher food is a problem, just like the non-kosher food itself is. And the Jewish people took from here an important lesson. They said, that means that to commit a sin, you don't necessarily have to be engaged in the item itself, but sometimes just a flavor. Sometimes just there is some aspect of the forbidden item that is floating around, even if it's not the forbidden item itself, that also is sinful, that also is problematic. And so the Jewish people understood that while they may not have engaged in any illicit behavior with the Midianite women this time around, however, the thoughts that crossed their minds that they had, and let's just be clear over here, when we talk about improper thoughts, this is an obligation in general for a person not to have improper sexual thoughts, and while such thoughts do flit across the mind occasionally, letting them flit their way right out and not dwelling on them is the main focus. A person is not an angel, and thoughts do occasionally flit across the mind, and the obligation is to not focus on them, but to let them just go on their merry way somewhere else. But the Jewish people understood that just those thoughts, while not the action itself, there's no actual engagement in any illicit behavior, it's just a thought, it's like a flavor that's just there, is problematic just like the action itself. And so the Jewish people took this lesson from the laws of kashering and understood that if a flavor of a non-kosher food is problematic like the non-kosher food, then thoughts of improper behavior in this context can be problematic just like the improper behavior itself. And therefore, they needed atonement for that. Of course, the punishment and the transgression is not as severe. But nonetheless, they understood that there's a problem with it, and for that, they needed an atonement. And obviously, this idea is very relevant, especially today's day and age when we are surrounded by so much licentious behavior and so many improper images. And a lot of people say, what's the big deal? So I saw something, or I heard something, or I thought something, but I didn't really do anything wrong. And the Torah tells us that, no, we have to be in control of our thoughts as well, because it's not enough to just avoid the improper behavior. Of course, that is the overarching goal. And one, even if one falls prey to improper thoughts, engaging in the behavior itself is far, far worse. However, the idea that improper thoughts, that the flavor of the sin, so to speak, is problematic, is an important idea we have to keep, think about and keep in mind as we strive for our personal growth in a world that really doesn't seem to care very much about these kinds of things. In our world, we need to care about it. We need to work on it. We need to focus on trying to avoid not just the action itself, but engaging in the thoughts and so on as well. I hope you enjoyed this message, and I wish you a wonderful Shabbos.